everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our program on this Wednesday midweek edition of Buckmaster. It is the 26th of January, 2022, now in our 12th year on the radio. Tom, today is Australia Day, marking the 1788 landing of what they call the First Fleet. First Fleet out of Great Britain, landing at Sydney Cove.
I'll bet they're not having any more landings, at least for the interim.
No.
In Australia, according to what I've been hearing.
Australia's been pretty much cut off in a bubble.
Pretty much closed down.
From the rest of the world for the past 2 years. We've been fortunate enough to visit there twice, have a couple of dear friends, Greg and Kathy. I know you listen to our program on a regular basis. Happy Aussie Day from here in the United States. The Buckmaster Show in our 34th year now on television and radio in Tucson. We broadcast from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website. That means you can listen to the program anywhere that you have access to a computer. The website is buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is also a Professor of Medicine, Family Medicine, and Public Health. Dr. Victoria Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am staying healthy. How are you?
Trying to stay healthy so far, knock on wood. That's kind of the goal of everybody, isn't it, these days? 2 years
sure
now,
is.
Almost 2 years, yes, since we had our first case here in the United States. And every month, this is the story. The COVID story has dominated our conversations for 2 months. I do want to talk about something that's called long COVID. Some of these symptoms seem to go on for a long time. And I'm just wondering, how common is long COVID for COVID patients?
Well, we don't know for sure, but in some studies, it looks like as many as 30% of people can get long COVID. And it is not pleasant to have long COVID. Sometimes people continue after they've had the infection with coronavirus to have sore throat, headaches, difficulty breathing, sometimes brain fog. One of the tricky things is that there's not necessarily a universal diagnosis of what long COVID is. But this is really what the NIH has committed over $1 billion to. There's a program now called RECOVER, which is a national research consortium that is including thousands of patients and hundreds of scientists trying to really understand what causes long COVID and what can we do to make it go away.
Does long COVID seem to be prevalent as much with the Omicron variant, or do we not have that information yet?
Well, we don't know for sure because Omicron's only been around for a short time.
A couple months.
It's only been in the U.S. exactly since the end of November, maybe beginning of December. So there's not really enough time to call it long COVID. And, you know, how long does it have to be? I mean, most people happily who are getting Omicron are just having a few days of illness. Some people, of course, having a more serious infection, but long COVID is for months and sometimes even for a year or longer, where people just continue to have a variety of symptoms. And the good news is we're now starting to understand some things that can be done that may protect against long COVID.
Yeah, I want to talk about that and dig a little deeper here into long COVID. There's some new research, Dr. Mazes, that hints that there are four particular factors that may increase one's chances of long COVID, or LC.
Yes. So this was just published a few days ago in the journal Cell. And there was a team of researchers who looked at 200 patients for up to 3 months after their COVID diagnosis, and they found four factors that increased the risk of long COVID. And this was whether people had really mild illness or severe illness. So the first was that they had high levels of the virus in their blood early in the infection. And that's thought to be an indicator of how high is their viral load, which is something we talk about, that if you get a more of a viral load, you're more prone to a worse infection. Another was what we call autoantibodies, which essentially means they're antibodies that instead of fighting the virus, turn on the body and attack parts of the body. This is what happens in autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus. A third is that it could reactivate Epstein-Barr virus, which is a virus that most of us get when we're young, but then is usually dormant and doesn't cause any problems. But this can reactivate it, and Epstein-Barr virus is sometimes the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome. And finally, having type 2 diabetes. Which is a chronic disease that increases the risk of the severity of COVID as well. There may be other chronic diseases, but this was a relatively small study of only 200 people. So that was the one that really showed up.
And of the patients reporting three or more symptoms, an astounding almost 100%, 95%, had one or more of the four factors that you have just identified. That is really important.
Right, right. So, you know, these may help us recognize who's at the greatest risk. And if we recognize who's at the greatest risk, there are things we might be able to do about it. For example, you and I have talked over the past months that everybody should certainly get vaccinated for COVID and prevent you from getting it. But it turns out that the timing of your vaccine can be really significant. So if you get vaccinated against COVID before you ever get COVID, you're almost nine times more protected against getting long COVID. If you get vaccinated in the first 4 weeks after getting COVID, you're five times more likely to be protected. If you wait until 4 to 8 weeks after you've had COVID, it's three times more likely to be protected from long COVID. And lastly, if it's 8 to 12 weeks, it's about two times more likely to be protected from long COVID. And, you know, that's a preliminary study still, but it's a fascinating study, and it's of almost 241,000 patients' medical records. So it's really, a large population study that hopefully will give us some additional things that we can point to reduce the risk of long COVID.
Yeah, and they're talking about a booster now, a fourth booster in Israel. Do you think we're going to reach that conclusion here in this country as well, that maybe a fourth booster is necessary?
I don't know. Israel moved forward with doing that fourth booster without any real data. They are studying it. But they were having a surge of Omicron and decided, you know, to go forward with a fourth vaccine. Many people are calling coronavirus, you know, the booster may be not the best language to use, that maybe this really is a three-series vaccine. Like, for example, human papillomavirus, HPV, is a three-shot series to give you full protection. And it could be that for coronavirus, we need three shots and not just two. And so the word booster may be a little bit of a misuse of a word. But it's also possible that people are going to come up with a very specific vaccine, for example, to Omicron, or if there's another variant, to that variant. And so it could be that we do have more shots in our future.
All right, let's pause here, and we'll talk a little bit more about long COVID and more on a subject that that rightly so just hasn't gone away because COVID hasn't gone away. And I mean, it's just amazing, Dr. Mazes, how first reported over Thanksgiving weekend, the Omicron has gone round the world in just like, I don't think there's been really much of a precedent for anything moving that fast around the world, has there?
Not that I'm aware of. It really shows how extremely infectious Omicron is and how easy it is to pass. And we live now in a global society, so one person takes it on a plane to the next.
All right. Dr. Mazes, stick around. We have more with you, and we have more with our listeners in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Right now, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. They open at 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Sunday. They're open right now for lunch. Of course, we're talking about Mona's Danish Bakery. Why do you think there is a line of people waiting when they open for their Danish and for their pastries? Well, the reason people love Mona's, they've got an outstanding product. You can find out there's beautiful pictures of everything on the menu at monasdanishbakery.com. They're located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. monasdanishbakery.com, again, for the website. Check it out. They are the home of the Danish Kringle and a lot of other great pastries. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With us on the live line for her monthly visit as we talk about health, our contributor on health on the program, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. We were talking in our first segment about long COVID. One of the symptoms of long COVID is something called brain fog. Some people say, well, maybe I'm in a brain fog a lot, but what are they saying? What is this brain fog?
Well, it's kind of what it sounds like. People feel like they can't think well, that they forget stuff, that, you know, prior to having COVID as an infection, they had a sharp memory and were able to remember things, that they can't think as well as they're, you know, accustomed to thinking, you know, whether that's strategically or clearly or holding a lot of things in their mind. Their brains are just not functioning well. And this happens in people with cancer who are on chemotherapy. Sometimes people call it chemo brain. It can happen in other kinds of conditions as well, like if you have a liver problem that's affecting your brain, if you've been in the ICU, sometimes chronic fatigue syndrome patients have this. So none of us want this.
Yeah, and you know, people over 65, studies have shown that when they are put under with anesthesia, depending on, you know, how long the procedure is, some people who have been under for like 8 to 10 hours complain of being in some kind of a brain fog. So there's a link there as well. I've heard that before.
Yes, that may be due to something different.
Okay.
When you're under anesthesia, there are two possible reasons. One is that you just may not be getting enough oxygen to the brain if you're in a really long surgical procedure. And the second is that when you get older, you don't metabolize or break down the anesthesia medicines as well as a younger person. And so your liver might need a little help breaking those down so that they're fully out of your system. But in this case, with COVID, there are three possible hypotheses for why people are having what we are thinking is neuroinflammation of the brain. One is that COVID directly infects the brain. The second is that there's some kind of autoimmune reaction. And the third is that there's inflammation and that's caused by elevated what we call cytokines, which are these inflammatory signals in the body, and that increases inflammation in the brain as well. So all of these mechanisms are possible, and what happens is your brain is literally inflamed. And then the question is, what can you do about it?
Is there something you could do about it?
Yeah, I think there are. I mean, we don't yet have great studies on COVID because COVID is pretty new, but we do have some studies that come from other situations like chemo brain and that we would extrapolate and say these are safe things to do and things that are probably useful. So one is probably no surprise to your listeners or to you, and that's to get enough sleep, and that would be defined as 7 to 9 hours. A lot of people don't get that much sleep, but especially if you have had an insult to your brain, the sleep is when your brain is able to detoxify and to heal. And so sleep is especially important if you've had any kind of insult or injury to the brain.
It probably wouldn't hurt to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night during this very stressful time, correct?
That is absolutely correct. So this is good health advice in general, you know, whether you have neuroinflammation from COVID or you're just trying to take good care of yourself.
Let's see.
And
if
the second one fits in that category too, and that would be meditation. There's evidence that meditation can actually help quiet the brain and reduce inflammation. And Some people like to use an app. There's Insight Timer, Calm, Headspace. There are lots of these different apps, many of them free or, you know, free for a period of time, so you could try it and see if you like it.
Let's see if we could quickly get Roberta's question on the air. Mm-hmm. Roberta, you're with Dr. Mazes. Go ahead.
Thank you. Dr. Mazes, people who have had the regular flu have developed every single thing that you have just mentioned. Plus, they become very allergic to many things and developed many chemical sensitivities. And those exacerbate everything you have mentioned. And I think the virus exacerbates the sensitivities and allergies. There used to be a homeopathic remedy that helped to metabolize medications in the body, and they stopped making that. Do you have any way of metabolizing medications for those of us who have become allergic to all medications because of the incipient ingredients that are mainly the same in most medications?
Yeah, so thank you for that question, Roberta. I think that you're right. People can get triggered when they have a viral infection, the flu, as you mentioned, or COVID, or a different viral infection that can set you up with poorer health. And if indeed it's that your liver is not metabolizing well, there are some things you can do to help the liver. One is avoid alcohol, because alcohol is a liver toxic and it makes the liver have to work much harder. So you don't want to put any extra burden on the liver. Similarly, high doses of Tylenol can be toxic to the liver, so you want to be careful about that. But then the two dietary supplements that can be helpful, one is a plant called milk thistle, and that actually helps with the liver's detoxification capacity. And the second is a dietary supplement called NAC or N-acetylcysteine. And you could talk to your doctor or to a pharmacist or a naturopathic doctor, an herbalist, and they can give you some specific advice depending on your situation.
Good question, Roberta. Thank you very much. One thing we haven't talked about is exercise. Can you exercise? Is there any study that has been done showing that you can still do some exercise if you have COVID?
Yeah, I think you absolutely can exercise. You know, often at the beginning of things, you know, when they first developed, we were like, go to bed and rest. But it turns out that there's no really good evidence for telling people not to exercise. And of course, you know, you have to be thoughtful and use common sense that if you're short of breath, you may not be able to exercise
right.
very much. But if you're not short of breath, I'd say absolutely do some exercise. There's evidence as well that exercise is helpful for chemo brain, so it may be helpful as well for the neuroinflammation caused by COVID. Similarly, there's evidence for the anti-inflammatory diet, which you and I have often talked about for chemo brain, so I would recommend that as well. So all of the broad health-promoting things we talk about, like a healthy diet, enough exercise, some kind of stress management, getting enough sleep. The one other thing that could be specifically helpful for the brain is a mushroom called hericium or lion's mane mushroom. And this has a nerve protection factor that can help nerves heal from an insult. And so lion's mane mushroom may be another thing that someone who's suffering from brain fog would want to add.
What is it called? You said I only picked up lions.
Lion's mane.
Oh, lion's mane.
It's a Latin name.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the mane of a lion.
Okay. Okay. So.
Yeah.
So that might help. It's more for maybe restoring the nerves.
Correct. It helps heal nerves that have been damaged And we use it for a variety of things, like if someone has a neuropathy. We sometimes use it when someone has some cognitive impairment, not full-blown Alzheimer's, but their brain isn't functioning as well as it used to. And also now we're recommending it if someone is struggling with the neuroinflammation associated with COVID.
What are you doing to stay healthy?
Well, I am following the recommendations I've just given. So I get lots of sleep. I get lots of exercise. I eat a healthy diet. I think the thing I struggle with the most right now is spending time with good friends, because we're always sort of guessing, is it safe enough to go out in the world? And so social connection is really important to our emotional health, to our mental health. And that's the one that I think is hardest for me right now.
Well, let's hope that we are reaching a peak here in Arizona. The cases were over 3,000 on Saturday and Sunday. Then they came down a little bit this week. So maybe we are getting close to the peak. I know some of the university modelers have been saying we're going to peak here maybe this week or next in Arizona. I hope so.
That would be fantastic. And let it go down quickly.
Yeah. Like it did in South Africa and over in lots of parts of Europe. Dr. Mays, it's always a pleasure, and continue to stay healthy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take good care.
Bye-bye. Dr. Victoria Mays is with us on the Buckmaster Show, our contributor on health. Coming up next, Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson will have our monthly Tucson Tourism Report. And then this blood shortage that's been happening in the United States and here in Tucson, really, for the first time ever, the American Red Cross put out a national blood shortage emergency message this month. So we'll hear about what's going on with that locally. We'll take a break right here. Midweek on the Buckmaster Show, we will be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Where does spring come first in North America? Answer, Tucson. There are hints of spring already in the air, and Green Things is ready for all of your spring planting. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. I love the knowledgeable people there. They will, I think they can pretty much answer anything you could throw at them in the area of horticulture related questions. 13-acre site, beautiful site over there by the Rito River. And then when you're there getting your green things for the garden, stop by Zocalo Village, the great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, as all part of the five shops at Zocalo Village. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website, and Zocalo Village .com is the website for Zocalo Village. Green Things is open daily. They're in their 51st year of business. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson to talk about our monthly Tucson tourism report. Dan, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Doing good, trying to stay healthy like everybody else and maybe avoid the big Omicron, but it's on everybody's mind. I wonder how are we shaping up here now as some of the gem shows are really starting to gear up? What are you hearing?
I mean, it's peculiar because there are like some hotel rooms available, which is not a gem show thing by any stretch of the imagination, right? I mean, the rates of are in gem show territory, and you're sort of seeing those positive signs coming through. You know, there are plenty of shows, which is good. It is not the, you know, 2019 peak of, you know, 50 plus shows, but you're seeing a good health. People are coming from around the world still, even though despite the challenges that come with sort of making those international plans. But yeah, you know, seeing the parking lots of hotels along the freeway full and the tents go up, it's all pretty encouraging.
The show at the Tucson Convention Center, often referred to as kind of the granddaddy of all of the gem shows, is that show on for I don't think it's mid-February, but is it on?
The gem show, as people think of it, is pretty much back. I mean, obviously a little bit more distancing and protocols, and, you know, you got to be thoughtful about masks and things like that, but yeah, but as it goes, pretty normal gem show activity, even though, I mean, the concern was is like, you know, as most people, you're thinking about these large scale events and people being in the same places. But by and large, people are feeling comfortable, seemingly, especially in those spaces. You'll see some dip, obviously. You know, some people are just not comfortable traveling for a variety of reasons. But gem show equals good right now. It is a welcome return to sort of some sense of normalcy. It's shocking how little the panic is setting in, you know what I mean, where you're like, oh, is this actually going to happen? It's like, no, it looks good. Everyone's committed. All signs are go.
Well, that's good. And the Fort Lowell shootout, which took last year off, I believe, had a pretty good, I guess, attendance at the Kino complex. They used to be over, of course, at Fort Lowell Park. That usually signals, to me anyway, the beginning, Dan Gibson, of the winter tourism season with activities. So what do we see coming up? Do we still see Any word on the rodeo? Is that going to come off?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about the rodeo. I mean, the rodeo is happening. That probably is the one you should feel the best about. And it's like largest scale. It's an audience that by and large is, you know, comfortable making decisions to be in groups and do those things. So yeah, rodeo should be full scale. Whether the parade is a part of that is, you know, I think is probably the question about permitting and just how that stuff comes together. But Fort Lowell Shootout was, again, the same thing. You're like looking at like 75% of, you know, what we expected before the pandemic. But at this point, 75% is good. Your leisure travel by and large is good. And people making individual choices for themselves in going to events and things like that, all really positive.
The Jazz Festival had to kind of do some making some last-minute changes, correct?
Yeah, that was an exciting time of seeing how the Jazz Festival is coming together.
Yeah.
We lost, I'm on the board, so yeah, the Royal We comes out. But, you know, we lost our three main headliners. And then a lot of the shows that you would have expected, like Spanish Harlem Orchestra and Rittenhour Gruzin, you probably would have expected to sell out. They were like 75% full. You know, and that's some of the challenge of like having an event, especially in spaces that are looking for vaccination or looking for vaccination cards. So there's that extra sort of layer, you know, and in the similar vein, MLS preseason starts in full tonight at Keno Sports Complex. That's happening with four teams and then four MLS teams and four of the sort of first division of soccer happening as well. So a lot of those events, the sort of large scale things, are back on the calendar. It doesn't look likely that you're going to see the like full cancellations, like something like the Arizona Bowl, which unfortunately getting a bunch of college kids together and not having the Omicron thing pass through them is a real challenge at this point. But it really is just that weight of like, how long will this last? Looking at other countries and their patterns, people seem to feel really comfortable. And I know I say this every single time, the challenge is still groups. You know, one of the big bellwethers, Microsoft, was supposed to have this huge event in Las Vegas. They had planned for April. They just canceled that and made it virtual. You're seeing some of the like charity events in Tucson get postponed. The Heart Ball has been postponed. Some of those other ones. That's the thing of just like those sort of spaces of corporate choices to have events. That's still the like last sort of space mm-hmm. of where people still are like checking to feel comfortable.
Right. Want to ask you about another signature event, one of the biggest book festivals, certainly in the United States. I think it's now second or third, the Tucson Festival of Books in early March. What are you hearing, Dan Gibson, on that front?
Again, still full on. I mean, you'll see smaller capacities in some of the rooms. You know, I think maybe for some of them, you will see some checks of vaccination cards or boosters and things like that. But yeah, my colleague slash boss Mary Rittman is on the committee for that and booking authors flights as we speak. It is an incredible lineup, and I'm really thankful to have it back. But yeah, it looks like the book festival you'll see in nearly to the same scale. And truly, I mean, if you are a book fan, especially if you're a fan of anything, you'll find something you like. The actor Bob Odenkirk from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul fame is one of the speakers this year. So, I mean, something for everybody.
Okay. Felipe Garcia is your new boss there at Visit Tucson.
Wait, he is? No, he is. Yeah,
he, of course, is. He's been with you guys for a long time, and I'm glad they went inside on that pick after a national search. They said, hey, we've got the guy right here that we want. We'll have him on our Friday Focus interview in mid-February, but generally, is Felipe looking at some different ways to approach national advertising, Dan Gibson?
I think the thing that, you know, Felipe plays to his strengths, which are considerable. One of those is just an understanding of multiculturality, mm-hmm. By culture things. I think what you'll see is that Tucson should be the sort of like epicenter of Mexican American culture in this country. We really should, you know, obviously we've done a lot in the food space, but you know, things like the mariachi conference and, you know, all the sort of things that you associate with this sort of borderlands culture that we have here, we should celebrate it more. And I think it's something that's appealing to people who are English speakers or Spanish speakers, all that stuff. You know, I think it's like a real connecting point, and he's going to do a great job promoting that. And obviously, like what he's done south of the border, our neighbors to Mexico, we're going to try to get as much of that business as well. So I think you'll see a lot of the same. He worked under Brent. He understood how Brent Dorad worked. Brent did a great job. So it's not like we don't have to rebuild the house. It's just maybe some new furnishings and just like, how do we prepare for the future?
Yeah. And Brent had he's got a great new job, doesn't he, in Arlington, Texas, which is of course home to the big stadium there. And that's a huge convention visitors bureau, isn't it?
I mean, if you like sports in Texas, I yeah. guess, I mean, it's not for me, but
me
you know,
either.
I mean, I'm glad he ended up there.
Yeah.
No, it's great for him. He's passionate about sports and he'll do a great job for them. I mean, now he's our competitor.
Yeah.
So, you know, I only wish the very worst on his endeavors. Like, you know, but no. He's great. I hope he'll do great.
You will. All right, Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. Thanks, Dan.
Of course. Thanks so much.
All right, Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. Up next, some very serious business to take care of about the American Red Cross. A serious blood shortage, not only in Tucson, but across the country. We'll talk about that right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive east of Tucson to a lovely area of the Land of Enchantment. And when you get there, it's a great time of year to do some outdoor activities, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. And if you haven't been up to see the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, it is certainly worth the drive, a very pretty drive, just north of Silver City. For more on things to do and places to stay, please visit, log on to southwestnewmexico.org and start your planning now for Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Well, there is a national blood shortage in the United States, and this is a very serious topic. The first time, I think, ever the American Red Cross has declared a national blood shortage. Courtney Sloniker is with us. She is the executive director of the American Red Cross here in Tucson, and she joins us on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Hey, Courtney, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, it's our pleasure. And this national blood shortage was declared on January 14th. Can you give us an update on what's been going on in the 2 weeks since then?
Yeah, thanks so much again, Bill, for having us on to talk about this. And Red Cross actually issued the first ever national blood crisis, which for us, worst blood shortage in over a decade because of the sustained amount of time we've been in this blood shortage for over 4 months now. In the last 2 weeks, we have definitely seen a huge donor turnout, people wanting to help. They heard the call to action. But what I'm going to tell you is there's also been people that have been feeling maybe a little bit disappointed. There's not enough appointments available. The blood drive got canceled. And my call to the action to the community is the best way to address this blood shortage is through regular, ongoing blood donations throughout the year. When you hear that call to action and there's a crisis or a shortage, yes, now is the time to act. But in order to prevent this in the future, the best thing to do is to donate every 56 days. You can donate whole blood every 56 days, or you can donate platelets every 2 weeks. So we're seeing this huge donor turnout. But like every other organization across the country right now, we're faced with the ongoing challenges because of the pandemic. There's been blood drive cancellations. We have staffing limitations. Some of our blood drive partners have had to cancel for different reasons because of the pandemic. So we're really asking everyone that's listening, have some patience with us. We thank you for your understanding and be persistent throughout the year. That persistence to donate every 56 days is going to help us, one, address this current crisis that we're in, but hopefully prevent it in the future.
So it's mainly is it a staffing issue around the country that's been brought on by the Omicron and COVID?
You know, it's actually a compound number of factors that are impacting our blood collections right now. We have seen a donor turnout decline of about 10% of people showing up for their appointments. We have been faced with the pandemic challenges around staffing limitations, staff having to quarantine. You know, just like every organization, we're hearing about these staffing shortages across the country. And, you know, there's just other various factors from the pandemic, supply chain issues, things like that, that all impact our collections and our partners' ability to host blood drives as well. So, you know, it's not one thing over the other. It's just that compound effect of having all of those challenges all presented at the same time.
You know, when that news release came out, the news report said that the crisis has forced doctors, Courtney, to make difficult choices about who is able to receive blood transfusions. I was a little confused by that. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, that's a great question. And right now, because of the shortage, we typically like to have about a 5-day supply of blood on the shelf. Right now, we're operating with about a 1-day or less than a 1-day supply. And so Wow. When they talk about doctors making difficult decisions, it's really around the limited amount of blood products available. We have had to limit blood product distributions to hospitals because of the shortage. And so hospitals are having to make critical decisions about where they're using blood, and that could impact patient care. And so, you know, we're working around the clock to make sure our hospital partners get the products they need for the best patient care possible. But the only way we can do that is through the generosity of our blood donors. And so, yes, doctors, you know, will have to make critical decisions. Blood bank directors are having to manage the supply that they have. And so patient care could be delayed. And that's absolutely our number one focus in addressing this shortage, to ensure that any patient that needs blood gets the blood they need when they need it. And we can only do that, again, with the generosity of our donors and people being persistent in their donations. The blood drive gets canceled. Please do, you know, book another appointment, because that's the only way. And it's a long-term game. blood cannot be stockpiled. It cannot be manufactured. Whole blood is good on the shelf for 42 days. Mm. Platelets are only good on the shelf for 5 days. So when we talk about we constantly need to replenish the blood supply, it's because it's such a fluid inventory. Blood comes in, it gets processed, it goes out the door. The only way we can address the shortage is by regular ongoing donations. Everybody, myself included, your heartstrings are pulled when you hear about this national blood crisis. But the only way we can stop things like this is through regular ongoing donations. And I know I've said that over and over again, but it's really the message that we need our donors to step up to and say, you know what, I will commit to donating every 56 days.
And I think it's worthwhile talking for sure. Who can donate? What are the nuts and bolts of donating, Courtney?
Yeah, great question. Who can donate? You know, if you're 16 or over with parental consent, you can sign up to donate blood here in Southern Arizona. You know, you have to be feeling healthy on the day of your donation. If you have questions, if you're taking certain medications, some of those may prohibit you from donating. You can give us a call, 1-800-RED-CROSS. You can have a confidential conversation to see if you're eligible to donate. But generally, folks that are feeling healthy can call us and figure out if they're eligible to donate. You know, only about 30% or so of the population is actually eligible to donate. Right now, anywhere from 3 to 10% of the population actually donates. So let's get that other 20% in there donating. Again, the best way to figure out if you're eligible and if you have questions about medications or, you know, any type of maybe condition that you have, give us a call. We'll walk you through the process and we'll save you some time instead of walking into a blood drive. Call us 1-800-RED-CROSS. We'll talk you through the process and hopefully get you signed up to donate. The other important point, Bill, is a lot of people hear about this blood crisis and they immediately want to go out to a blood drive, which is amazing. We are so grateful that people are so willing to act and so fast. However, we cannot accommodate walk-ins right now. We really need people to book appointments because we're still managing the flow of the blood drives, accommodating for social distancing, and limiting the number of people that are coming in and out of a blood drive. And the only way we can do that is through our appointments. So we encourage everyone, please book an appointment. That way we can also, you know, guarantee your spot in the donation process and you're not waiting, you know, for longer than you should be when you're hoping to make a blood donation. So book that appointment, call us 1-800-RED-CROSS, or you can go to redcrossblood.org, type in your zip code, and it'll pull up a blood drive closest to you.
So if someone sees your big mobile van and they've heard about this crisis and they just show up, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, right now it's not a good idea. Before the pandemic, we absolutely could accommodate walk-ins and we didn't have some of the limitations that we do now, but our main priority is to keep all of our donors and our staff safe so that we can continue meeting the need for blood. And we're doing that through, you know, managing our appointments. So yes, you see that blood mobile, that thing is an eye catcher. It's gorgeous. You're there to save lives, but do us a favor, please book an appointment, and we'll get you taken care of, and you'll be a part of that life-saving journey.
And again, the best way to contact you is?
Call us 1-800-RED-CROSS or go to redcrossblood.org, and there's eligibility questions on there. We have a whole FAQ, or you can talk to us on the phone. And please, please book that appointment. If for whatever reason you can't donate, we're also looking for blood drive volunteers. These are critical roles in our blood drives of folks that volunteer their time to help us with blood drives. So you might not be able to donate your blood, but you can certainly donate your time and talent, and we'd love to have you join our team.
That's a very good point. Thank you, Courtney Sloniker, for talking about this really serious situation. Thanks, Courtney.
Bill, thank you so much. As always, it was a pleasure.
My pleasure as well. Courtney Sloniker, she is the executive director of the American Red Cross in Tucson. Tomorrow, Dr. Richard Carmona joins us. If you want to call, he'd be delighted to take your questions at 790-2040. But right now, that's 23 hours away. Right now, it's Dave Ramsey next talking about your money on behalf of Tom Fairbanks. Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon.